2nd and 3rd John, and that was really encouraging. If you missed any of those and you want to go and check them back out, you can download the New Life app, and all of those messages are on there. Every August, we really focus on community and our church and getting ready for the school year, reminding ourselves of our mission and just wanting to reach this city. And we do that in different ways, and one of the ways that we do that is we have an all-church message. And so, again, New Life is 25 different locations all over Chicagoland area. All of them, none of them are video venues, and so none of them are somebody's preaching someplace else and live streaming to another place. There's every location has a pastor, there's preaching that happens, but once or twice a year, we do have it where our senior pastor, our lead pastor, either Mark Job or Josiah Job, will bring a message for the whole church, and so that's what we're doing today. We're really excited that we're going to be able to hear from Pastor Josiah. I want to emphasize that again, if you're new with us, this is a rare thing. This only happens once or twice a year. Not that that's bad when churches do that, but if you're like, oh, I don't want to go to a video church. I want to go to where there's a live person. Back to next week. We're back to flesh and blood up here, all right? So this is just today. But it's really important just as far as Pastor Josiah just talks about vision and who we are and where we're going, especially just gearing our hearts up for that as we go into this new season. So we're really excited for that. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to electronically turn it over to Pastor Josiah. God, we just thank you so much for our church. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. We praise you, God, for your grace and how you make this community and you draw us together and all the ins and outs, the flaws and the strengths. God, I pray that just as we've been talking about all summer, that you would help us to live in your love and to share that love with one another. That we would remember the grace that you show us and that we would show that grace to one another. That you would help us to hold on to our identity in you and not allow cracks to get into the foundation. We just praise you, God, for all of it. We praise you for what you're doing, and we pray that you would just give us open ears and hearts to hear what Pastor Josiah has to say this morning. Just speak through him. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right.
Hello, New Life. Man, I am excited to be with you today. And part of the reason that I'm excited to be able to bring you the word and really a vision message for the whole of New Life Community Church is because God has been burning something in my spirit. I was able to take a few days away from the daily grind of ministry and meetings, and my whole purpose was to get away and really say, Lord, give me clarity. Give me a strong conviction, God, and assurance of where you want us to focus as a church, God, what you want us to do. And I feel like he's given it to me. I feel clear about where the Lord is leading us in this next season. I am so excited to share with you because I believe that we are living in a special and holy moment. One of the things I got to do when I was away is read and study the movements of God and revivals throughout history, specifically in America. And here's one of the things that I noticed. I want you to be aware of a pattern that emerges or seems to emerge here as God does powerful awakenings. The first great awakening happened in the 1730s and 40s. I want you to take note of this 50-year mark. 50 years from that first great move of God, where tons of people came to Christ, changed the nation, we had the second great awakening in the 1790s to the 1840s. Once again, God showed up in miraculous ways. God moved in the power of his might and spirit, and tons of people came to Jesus 50 years later. In 1906, the Azusa Street Revival happened, where some people gathered and said, God, fall upon us, do something. And once again, droves and droves and droves of people were transformed and changed, and the presence of God fell in a powerful way. 50 years from that point, in 1960s and the 1970s, the Jesus movement and the first Asbury Revival happened. Some of you have seen the Jesus Revolution movie. Once again, the Spirit of God fell. His presence was thick and saturated in the room, and so many people came to Christ and had their lives transformed by a powerful awakening, a revival, a move of God. You know, as we play the movie forward and go another 50 years forward, we end up right where we are today. And in 2023, Asbury College again had another move of God where the Spirit of God descended on this college, and this small college experienced the presence of God in an unusual way where people from all around the world came to experience what God was doing. If the rhythm holds, and I believe it does, then every 50 years or so, God awakens a generation, and these awakenings don't fade in a weekend. They usually last about 10 to 15 years. This is important, and it speaks to the moment that I believe that we're in right now, New Life. I believe we're already standing in the early stages of a great awakening. We're either at the beginning of it or we are right in the middle of a great awakening and a powerful move of God that is a revival. We've seen it on the ground, record-breaking baptisms. The last 2 years, we've had 2 years ago, 500 baptisms. That was a record number. Last year, 550 baptisms. And I'm so thankful to God to be able to say that even halfway through the year, we're on track to see over 700 people give their life to Jesus and go down into the waters of baptism and live a new life in Jesus from all across New Life. Isn't that unbelievable? Amazing. And it speaks to what God is doing. We're seeing on the ground a growing hunger in people, and especially the next generation, Gen Z and beyond, that are desperate for God in an unusual way. We're seeing an unusual openness to the gospel where people are just coming in with brokenness and looking for hope and truth. We're seeing a stirring across cities and churches and countries that just sense this move of God. And let me tell you, it's not happening everywhere, but it's happening in powerful ways in the places that it is happening. I don't believe that this is wishful thinking. I believe that this is a spiritual pattern and a prophetic invitation. And as I studied these revivals and these move of God's, I mean, my mind has been just fixated on it, and I'm trying to say, Lord, teach me, show me. One of the things that I've observed is that every move of God begins with people who do three things. Here's the first thing that I see that always comes right before a great awakening or revival. First thing that people do is they gather to pray. Listen to Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Talks about the people of God. They all join together constantly in prayer. Every revival starts with prayer. From the upper room in Acts to the Azusa Street revival, someone always starts praying first. I love Acts. You got these people that have been told to wait because power from on high is going to be upon them, the Holy Spirit. They're going to have a move of God. So they wait, but they don't just wait. They wait and they pray. And as they pray, God moves in a powerful way. And you guys know the story of Pentecost, and God's Spirit falls upon them and lives are transformed, and over 3,000 people in one day come to know Jesus. That's revival. But it started with prayer. And here's what I believe. Before God moves through people, he always moves among people in prayer. We want an outpouring. But if we want to see God fall on us in a special and powerful and unusual way, it's going to require us to get out of our comfort zone and start praying like never before. Prayer is where the fire falls. It's the furnace of awakening. When people start praying, God starts looking down, but he's looking for people that are hungry, that are willing to knock, that are willing to press in, that are willing to push through the tiredness, are willing to pray again even after it hasn't been answered. God is looking for people that are hungry, and revival and awakening always starts with people who pray. I believe that some of us have been waiting for a move of God, but God has been waiting for a move of prayer. As I studied revivals, I studied the businessman revival of 1857. This one's so cool. In 1857, a church in Manhattan, Dutch Reformed, basically was on its last leg and thinking about shutting down. So they found this guy, Jeremiah, and they said, "Hey, Jeremiah, would you try to get some people in our church?" And the community and neighborhood had changed. There was a lot of immigrants. So he went out, tried to reach people, but people really weren't interested in coming to church. So he said, "Let me try something different." He goes and looks at the businessman, sees that roughly, you know, they need a break at 12. He says, "What if we start a prayer meeting at noon?" The first meeting, he shows up ready, you know, thinking people are going to show up. No one shows up for the first 30 minutes. And then he hears a creak on the church floors, and somebody comes in. Ends up being 6 people for his first meeting. 1 week later, there's 20 people. The week after that, there's 40 people. And here's what I want you to take note of. There is, after week 3, a major financial crisis that happens in New York. They call it the Panic of 1857. And in this panic, people are shaken and they're looking for answers. And this prayer meeting that was empty starts to get overflow. People come out. They have to use other churches around because people are so desperate and hungry for God and for answers. And the estimates by historians tell us that over 500,000, somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million people came to faith in that season. I love it. It started with a group of people that came together. It wasn't a lot, wasn't flashy. There wasn't preaching, but some people came together who prayed and God said, "I see you," and God fell and a revival and awakening happened. It always starts with prayer. Here's the second thing that I have seen and observed that happens right before revival and awakening. When people do this, when people confess and clean. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5 says this, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes," listen to what Isaiah says, "and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." I love this because revival isn't just about loud worship. Revival is always marked by deep cleaning. In every great revival, confession was a central part of it and always happened during the revival and before the revival. Isaiah here has this powerful encounter with God in a vision where he sees God and the throne of God and the angels circling and saying, "Holy, holy, holy." But Isaiah's response to getting closer to God is one of confession. As we get closer to God, God shows us things in our hearts that are not right, things we have to clean out, because God has called us to live holy as he is holy. Confession is how we set the stage, because I believe before God ignites a church, he cleans out the clutter. And when we hide our sin, we quench the flame and the power of God to be had in a place. It's interesting, as I studied this summer, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, it tells us something. It says, "If anyone cleanses themselves from the latter," which is, you know, not living for God, sinful things that hold us back, "they will be used for special purposes." Think about that. Revival, awakening is a special thing, a special purpose. But what Timothy tells us is, hey, listen, we actually need to clean out the garbage in our life before God moves in a powerful way. And the word clean there, or cleanse, literally means to purge or clean thoroughly or deeply. God is saying, I don't want you to just do a Windex, light clean, dust off some of the areas in your heart. If you want me to fall, if you want to experience me, if you want to walk with me, if you want revival to fall upon New Life, then you need to purge deep, clean with the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, show me what I need to deal with. And God starts to move and we start to clean and we start to turn and we start to repent. I saw this in the revivals that I studied. In the Wales revival of 1904, there was a man named Evan Roberts who spent countless hours praying for revival and awakening. And in one meeting that he was at with an evangelist, the evangelist said to the people, he said, he prayed, "Lord, bend us." And when Evans heard that, the Spirit just pressed upon his heart and told him, "Evans, that's it. You need to bend before me. You need to bend and humble yourself." And so Evan started to pray that. He started to get his life really right and consecrate himself before the Lord. He started to pray, "Lord, bend me." And as he prayed this prayer, he decided to start gathering some young people to pray. And during those meetings, the Holy Spirit had instructed Evans that he, at these prayer meetings, needs to do several things. Two of those things was to confess, and the other thing was to repent. So he gathers these people, and at every prayer meeting, he's leading people. They're not fancy. There's no instruments, no music, no nice and fancy lights. But at all these prayer meetings, people are confessing, and they're repenting, and they're following these requirements that were prompted by the Holy Spirit. People that were there said something changed when they started to seek God in this way. And God's presence seemed to fill the air so powerfully at all of these prayer gatherings that were led that people would literally shout, "No more, Lord Jesus, or I'll die," because they were so overcome with the joy and the power and the presence of our God. Stories from that time say that people got so serious about confessing and repenting, and God was doing such a work in people's heart that the coal miners, that was a big thing there in Wales, that the coal miners had over the years stolen so many tools that as they were confessing and repenting, they decided to bring their tools back to their workplace, their tools back to their bosses. And there was so many tools that were brought back that the bosses had to be like, "Yo, stop, stop bringing your tools back. We can't take any more tools. Just keep them at your house." That's the power of a move of God. And in this movement, within 6 months, over 100,000 people came to Jesus. I believe that some of us don't feel spiritually alive or on fire as we want to, not because God left, but because we're carrying what he has died to cleanse. I wonder if there's something in your life that's blocking the experience, the closeness, the fire in your life, because I can tell you all of us, me, you, all of us have things in our life that as we get closer to Jesus and draw near, he starts to point things out and say, "That's not supposed to be there. Clean that out." Here's the third thing that I observed as I studied these revivals and awakenings. Right before you had these powerful moves of God, you saw people that would do this. They would linger in worship. I love Psalm 22:3 that says, "God inhabits the praises of his people." Revival lingers where worship lingers. I don't believe that worship is just a warm-up or something we do to fill some place in our service. I believe that worship is a welcome mat to the presence of God. There's something powerful when people get together and they say, "We just want you to move, God. We want to experience you. We want to wait around, God, in your presence. We want to sing another song. We want to wait for you to move in a special way. We don't want normal, God, but we want you and your presence in a fresh and new and deeper way." I believe that lingering is the language of the hungry and that God always responds to people that are hungry. James tells us, "Draw near to God and God will draw near to us." There's something holy and extended about unhurried worship, where it's not about checking the box to get to the next thing or running off afterwards to our plan, but we experience worship and we just want to wait. We just want to be with him. We just want to sing him one more song. We just We just want a fresh touch from our Lord. Something powerful about waiting. As I studied the last revival that was really to spark the season that we were in and the last one that's really recorded by people, Asbury College that happened in 2023. Many of us saw it online, all over TikTok. It was the fastest hashtag to ever reach 1 billion views on TikTok. And in 2023, at Asbury College, they had a normal college chapel and a speaker who felt like he bombed it really bad at chapel. He's like, I'm just going home to his wife. But after that chapel, something special happened. 19 students decided to linger. They got out of their seats as the room totally cleared and people moved on with their day. But these 19 students went up to the front. They went up to the stage. They got down. They prayed. And the worship team decided, maybe we should sing a few songs. And these 19 students started to pray and worship. But most importantly, they lingered. And as these students sat there and waited at the altar, worshiped God and lingered in his presence, something changed. And God's presence fell upon that room in an extraordinary way. They had to cancel classes. The room was filled for weeks and weeks, and over 80,000 people descended from across the world upon this small town to experience the presence of God. When the speaker was asked what was different about these 19 students, he said, I think God's doing something in hungry and humble people. Don't you want that? A taste, experience, the presence to fall in a way where we just can't get enough of it. A hunger and a humility like those 19 students that God cannot go by. Even though the room is empty, he sees that hunger and that fire for him. I believe that this is our moment. I believe we're living in the early days or in the middle of another great awakening and revival of God. We can't manufacture revival. We can't control the hand of God, but we can prepare the altar and we can fan the flames. I feel a strong conviction that in this next season, our sole focus and priority needs to be to turn the temperature up spiritually in our church and in our lives. What if this is our chapter in the story of awakening? Let's be a church that doesn't miss it. Let's fan the flame. Let's make room for a move of God, because we don't just want to hear about revival. We want to host it here. I'm praying, Lord, do it again. And Lord, do it here. Do it amongst us. Let us be hungry and humble for you, Lord. So all across New Life, as we close, I want to ask you to stand. I want to invite the worship teams forward, and I want to pray with you. As God is doing something special and powerful, revival doesn't start out there, it starts in here. Leonard Ravenhill said, revival is not when the top blows off, but when the bottom falls out. See, it's not about hype. It's about surrender and holiness before God. This next season, I'm asking you to turn up the temperature in your own walk and your own life. Before I close, in this next season, I know that our churches and our locations are going to be turning up the temperature. The pastors have heard the call. We're going to be doing things over this next season, prayer, fasting, worship nights. We're going to turn up the temperature. But I wanted to start with each and every one of us before God, because all of us need to gather to pray. All of us have things that we need to confess and clean. And all of us need to be challenged to linger in worship. What if all across Chicagoland area and Indiana, all across New Life, what if we got serious about cultivating an environment and an atmosphere where God would see our fire and that smoke would rise all the way to the heavens? I mean, could you imagine that we get to be part of a moment that is preordained by God Almighty, the Father in heaven, and he's prepared a moment for us to experience a move of God that would draw people and have a power and a might like is seen throughout history, as great as the day of Pentecost, that God would fall upon us because he sees people that are hungry and humble for more. Would you raise your hands with me as I pray for you? As we commit to get serious about turning up the spiritual temperature through prayer, confession, and worship. Father, we're hungry. We don't want to go through the motions, God. We don't want to play it safe, God. We don't want to just do church on Sundays or go through services, God. We want to hunger and thirst for you, God. We want to create a fire in here that would reach to the heavens, God. We want you to fall upon us in a fresh and new way that would mark our life and we would never be the same. But it would also mark our cities and our communities and our families. And there would be droves and droves and hundreds of thousands of people, God, that would come to know you because there was people that were hungry enough to press in until you move. Lord Jesus, we love you. It's all in your hands. We praise you and we give you glory and honor. We look forward to seeing you in eternity. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. God bless you, New Life.